year, because I had the sermon for Thanksgiving all ready to go. But I was sick that Sunday before Thanksgiving last year, went to the doctor that afternoon and found out I had COVID. So I didn't preach my Thanksgiving lesson last year. By the way, these lessons do change from year to year, year and so on. So but what I want to do is I want to talk about Thanksgiving. I want to talk about it, really giving some points, some concepts, that some things for us to think about. But I want to start by talking about the fact that Thanksgiving, in a lot of ways, has become the overlooked and forgotten holiday. You might not know this about me, but I like coffee, and I like all different kinds of coffee. I like going to just little coffee shops. I like that, but I also like Starbucks. And I got to the point, I know Hayden's over there shaking his head no. I got to the point when I was living in California where I could drive up. I went to Starbucks so often. I could drive up. And you know, there's a little camera on the board, and they say, "Will it be the same thing this morning, Travis?" They knew me every week because it was the same thing all the time. But there's some things about Starbucks that kind of ties into Thanksgiving being the overlooked holiday. You realize on August 24th of this year, Starbucks released their iconic annual fall beverage. And if you know Starbucks, you would know about by its initials, PSL, Pumpkin Spice Latte. Also, you know, when you talk about August 24th, thinking fall, I wasn't thinking fall, you realize that Halloween candy had been on the shelves in the stores for nearly a month by that time? And you can look it up. In Odessa, it was 97 degrees out. October 31st comes around, and stores exchange the decorations that were orange and yellow and black to those of red and green. And I found out, which I had never waited this long to get candy for that night, I found out if you go to get candy in the stores on Sunday night and it's Halloween, they're already exchanging it for Christmas candy. It's ridiculous how fast things transition. Well, you talk about Starbucks again. You know, on November 4th, Starbucks started selling their holiday drinks. And this last week, my daughter made this message to us saying, you know, my husband is so wonderful. He went and he got me the Starbucks Christmas mug that was released. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. What happened to Thanksgiving? How is it we go from fall and Halloween to Christmas? I even found an article earlier this week in which some universities are doing away with the concept of Thanksgiving for political reasons, but it's becoming overlooked. So I think it's important for us to ask, okay, what is Thanksgiving? And I'm trying to click forward, and it's not clicking forward, but we'll get there in a second. Well, can I give you a little bit of what Thanksgiving is to me in jest before I get to the serious? Thanksgiving is the four Fs to me, or four Fs to Thanksgiving. Number one is food. Nothing says thankfulness like eating to the point where you can't eat another bite, take a nap, and then eat some more. That's thankfulness, top to bottom. The second F is football. Nothing says thankfulness for being blessed like eating a butterball and being obsessed with a football. Family. I'm going to take this from Johnny Carson. He said, Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year and then discover once a year is way too often. And lastly, Friday. Nothing says thankfulness like waking up early hours of the morning on Friday to go buy a Fitbit health and fitness smartwatch to help you lose the weight you gained the day before. But in all seriousness, what is Thanksgiving? Give thanks to the Lord. In Psalm 136 and in verse 1, we read, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." I hope you can appreciate the day this week. Appreciate Thanksgiving. Take the time on Thursday just to stop and to praise God for who he is and for what he's done. But also realize that Thanksgiving is not a practice reserved for one day. As Christians, Thanksgiving is a day-to-day practice. And then we need to appreciate how serious it is to be ungrateful. One person wrote, "Ingratitude is a crime more despicable than revenge, which is only returning evil for evil. Ingratitude is returning evil for good." In Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 through verse 19, we have the story where Jesus interacts with the 10 lepers. And remember, he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest, and while they go, they are healed in that process. And one, the one we focus on, returns, and he gives thanks, and he praises Jesus for what it is that he had done. And Jesus' response is, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" We like to focus on the one, but the reality is the 9 teach a greater lesson, and that is how ingratitude is perceived by Jesus. He says, "Weren't there 9 who couldn't just stop and come back and give thanks to the Lord?" What do we give thanks for? I want to give several thoughts this morning, some about things that we give thanks for, some of the concepts surrounding giving thanks. And I hope you will look at these, find something in them that you can apply in your lives. Number one is, Thanksgiving is something that is timeless. It's timeless. We already referenced this, but in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer says, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Let us continually, he says, offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. It's not something that's here today and then we forget it for 364 days. It really needs to be a part of our lives where every day we are thankful to God. Why? Because not only is it giving God what he deserves, but there is some spiritual benefit in it for us. Look in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. As Paul closes this letter, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Did you notice the fact that in 3 verses, Paul utilizes the concept of thankfulness? In every verse, there is this concept of being thankful. Thankful. In verse 15, when you let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Thankful continually in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And then in verse 17, whatever you do, word or deed, whatever it is, be thankful. Why? Because when we have thanksgiving in our life, what Paul says in verse 15 is it transforms our heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Well, how does the peace get in us? It's through thanksgiving. In verse 16, The P, living with thanksgiving, magnifies the message. He says, teaching and admonishing one another, Psalms and spiritual songs. When we speak to each other that way, we do so with a grateful heart, and it's impressionable on those that are around us. And we give thanks to God daily, keeps our eyes focused on Him in whatever we do, in word or deed. Give thanks. Why don't we set as a goal in our prayers to make time for thanksgiving? A lot of times our prayers are occupied with intercession, and that's good. They're occupied with seeking God's help, and that's good as well. We have examples of that throughout Scripture. But at the same time, shouldn't we also just take time to stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you. It should be timeless. It should be heartfelt. Heartfelt is next in my list, but it's not second. How often do people approach this day? And it's just a day. It's a day where we go and we get the food and we joked around, you sit around and watch football and you eat yourself sick and you see family and that's it. And then you just go and you just don't stop. It needs to be heartfelt. If something is displayed without the heart, what's Jesus call that? In vain do they worship me, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. In vain. They do something without the heart. In Matthew 15, and verse 8, it says, people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When we thank God, we need to really, from our heart, acknowledge that all we are and all we have comes from Him. So thanksgiving is to be timeless, it's to be heartfelt, but it's also to be audible. We need to take the time to say it, to vocalize it, to speak it. To say the words, thank you. It's easy to become acclimated to our environment. You probably have something in your home or some circumstance that you just grown used to. I've talked about a woman I knew years ago, and her house was filled with cuckoo clocks. And she lived with, there was upwards of 100 cuckoo clocks in a double-wide trailer. And you imagine the noise, the tick-tocks, and then the chimes. To me, that would just make me go crazy, but she had become accustomed to it. She had become acclimated to it. It was just there. That's what happens to us at times, is we stop noticing things, we stop taking time for things, and they are just there. And what our mind does is it filters those things that are not relevant out. And it only allows the things that are relevant in the moment to come in. And so we don't hear the noise. We don't hear the static. We don't hear those things. And that's what happens in our day-to-day lives. Whether it's a relationship with God or a relationship with our family, our spouse, our kids, or our relationship with our friends or our spiritual family, is we can become so acclimated that we don't stop and say, thank you. Thank you for being. Thank you for the relationship that we have. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, everything is created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. What God has created in our relationships is good. He created man. He says, it's not good that man should be alone. And then he made woman, brought her to man. He said, this is good. And yet what do people do? We go on day to day, and we don't stop to say, Thank you. We just assume everyone knows how I feel. And we shouldn't assume those things because that's taking them for granted. So Thanksgiving is timeless, heartfelt, audible. Thanksgiving for those that are nearest. How often do you tell the people that you're closest to, thank you for your family? Whether it's your mother, your father, your children, your spouse. Maybe it's church family. We have two wonderful elders here. When have we said thank you? To the deacons, we have four men that serve this congregation and do well. For those that teach the class, and just for brethren, just say thank you. We should say thank you to those that are nearest. We shall also be thankful for our kin. And look at this a couple different ways. And number one is physical family. We're still getting to know each other, but I know that there's probably some person in your physical family that's left this life. I've had people like that in my life. They have touched me. They have encouraged me, shaped me, enlightened me. And I'm thankful to God every day that they've been in my life. They're not here presently, but I know that what they taught and the influence they had on me has changed me. Many in a spiritual family have left as well. Over the years, that's what happens in congregations. People leave this life. How they touched you, how they shaped you, how they enlightened your life. I look back in my life and the preacher I interned with, he shaped my life. I talk about some of my things that drive me nuts that preachers do, or some of my pet peeves and things like that. I got a lot of that from him because he came to me and he said, you know you do this? Why do you think about that? And ever since then, it's stuck in my mind. He affected me spiritually. There's so many people in my life that have affected me spiritually. What about your life? Who's affected you spiritually? I know this is hard sometimes, but it's also important to be thankful about society. This last week, really just for a while now, society just breaks my heart. See, the moral decline of what's going on. And so it's kind of odd, don't you think, to say, maybe we should be thankful for society. So while there are some things that are going away from God, I think it's valuable to return to and remember some of the things that we do have where we live. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. There's a reason why it's first. Because it is significant. We have the ability to assemble in a building like this. We have the ability to stand up and to proclaim God's word and to say things in our this world views as being acceptable, to be good, to be even be virtuous, to say those things according to God are sinful. While we have that freedom, I think we need to be thankful to God that we have that freedom to be able to come together. Romans chapter 13, we read the government is established by God, is allowed by God to serve God, as we talked about in Daniel this morning, to also to honor God. Sometimes governments don't do that. But while we live in this society, we have freedoms, and we should take advantage of those and be thankful for them. We also need to be thankful, and this is, again, these are not in order of importance, okay? So they're fitting a need. Next one is God. Without God, what are we? Without God, what do we have? I love the song that we sing in our hymns, Without Him. I don't know if we know the song or if you know the song, but here's the lyrics. Without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without Him, I could be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. And the chorus goes, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. I went around singing that song this past week. It's just in my head. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, James tells us, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Everything that you have, everything, physically, relationally, spiritually, that's good, comes from God. We need to be thankful to Him for who He is and what He has done in our lives. We also need to be thankful for the increase. We are blessed. And I think in a lot of ways, we fail to appreciate how blessed we are. And we fail to appreciate that because we become accustomed to what we have. And then it's not there. So you talk about the cargo ships off of Los Angeles and Long Beach. I know that area. Been in that area. You have those ships that are lined up out there with goods after goods after goods after goods after goods, right? And how do we respond? Oh, it's horrible. We don't have this. We don't have this. They're not going to have the presents that I want to give at Christmas because they're not going to be on the shelves. And you look at all of that that's off the shore, and I just think to myself, you see those cargo ships stacked and how big they are, how materialistic people have become. That we just look at all of that. And the problem is not with abundance. The problem is that we have become desensitized to how good it is we have it. And so when it's not there, then we turn around and say, oh no, we're in trouble. But the reality is there are places in this world that will never have it like we have it. Where I was before I came here, one of the things that the congregation did was support ministers in the Philippines. And this was a year after year after year after year after year type of thing. And some of the things stood out in my mind. I never went over there. The other preacher did, the elder did. But the things that stood out in my mind is for like support, a preacher would receive like $150 a month. And that was quite a bit. It wasn't a lot, but it was quite a bit. The need for food is always present. And then you have storms that come in and they built up their homes, their structures. The storms come in and just demolish everything. And so year after year after year after year, there's always additional need because they need that. We had a preacher one time who preaches in South Africa. Actually, he goes over into Zimbabwe and he starts churches there in Zimbabwe. And these brethren are out there and they're meeting under a tree. Or they're meeting in a cinder block building. That's all they have. And people will come in because people are starving. And buy food for brethren, and you come in and, to buy food, and people that weren't brethren would come in because they just needed so much. I point all that not to make us feel guilty for what we have, but to be realistic that we have a lot. Where's it come from? It comes from God. And there are so many that don't have. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, "Behold, what I see to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun for a few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot." He says, enjoy it, but we need to be thankful. Be thankful for the increase. Be thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus, the victory over sin, the victory over death. And as we approach the end of this life, when we approach that threshold where we'll cross over to the next, that the reason I'm able to do that in peace and in confidence is because of Jesus. He has given us the victory, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But we also talk about the instruction that we have. Where would we be without God's word? Where would we be without his teaching? It's appeared to us, the grace of God, bringing salvation. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12. Are you thankful for this? Now, there was a time where people didn't have Bibles. Bibles were a scarce thing. Why? Because they had to be handwritten. And even in the Catholic Church, there were times where Bibles would be chained to the pulpit because they were such a rare, precious commodity that they secured it. Now you could go anywhere, you could find a Bible. You go into Walmart and you find a row of Bibles. You go all over the place and find Bibles. And what do we do with it then? We say, oh, it's just a Bible. It's not just a Bible. This is the holy word of God. It's his mind revealed to us. Have you thanked God for this? Do you treat this as if you're thankful for it? Or is it that noise in our life that we just become accustomed to and so we just kind of set it aside? Be thankful for our instruction and those that have instructed. Where would you be if someone didn't take the time to teach, to show you what God says? And I'm not talking me, I'm talking about just people in our lives, because a lot of us might be first-generation Christians, that we were outside of Christ and someone took the time to say, hey, this is who Jesus is. Are we thankful for that instruction, the time that someone's taken? Then we need to be thankful for God's nearness. Some view God as being distant. Sadly, the result is a very negative life. But the reality is God cares. And he's concerned. In Psalm 139, we were reading this week, the psalmist says, where can I go and you're not there? I go to the furthest parts of the sea and you are there. I go into the grave and there you are there. I could be in the dark and it says light to you. God, you see. And I made the comment this morning when we were talking about that, is that we can look at that and that can be a kind of a frightening thought. But can I also suggest that there's a positive side to that? And that is, while it might be frightful if I'm not living how God wants me, the positive side is that God sees me trying to live for him, and he sees the struggles that I face, and he sees the problems that I have, and he sees the issues that weigh me down, that burden my soul. He sees that, and he cares. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27, Paul says that he is actually not far from each one of us. Because of that, we can cast all our anxieties on him, because he cares for you. And the last thing to think about is the gift. Are we thankful for the gift? The Bible is beginning to end all about the gift. For God so loved the world, he gave. What did he give? his son. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul says it so well. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What's Paul saying? Words alone can't describe how great that gift is. There's no word that comes close. Are we thankful for the gift? Jesus, who came here, God in the flesh, to walk amongst men like us, to experience the things we experience, to know what it's like, and to do it perfectly, to then go to the cross, shed his precious blood, so that I might be right before God. What a gift. And it's a gift I don't deserve. It's a gift you don't deserve. But it's a gift God freely gives. There are a lot of things to be thankful for. Every day, that's the one that needs to be first and foremost in our mind. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Here's the thing, though, is what's that mean? Is it just words? Or is it really taking a place in our lives where we allow him, because of who he is and what he's done, to shape us? That's Thanksgiving. Not just my words, but every day living as he would have me to live. So as we close this lesson, it's great to start off by talking about food, football, family, and Fridays. Three of those are important to me. I'll let you figure out which three are important. But the reality is, those things pale in comparison to what God has done. So my question to you this morning, though, as we look to this day and really every day, are you ready? Are you ready? God sent his son to die for you. If you're not living for Christ, then why not? If you need to become a Christian and start that life, we're happy to help you with that water, to baptize you. But maybe you're a child of God and you need to change your life because you haven't been living with thanksgiving in your heart. You've been living for yourself. Seek God. Seek his forgiveness. If you need our prayers for encouragement, we're willing to do that. Whatever your need is this morning, please, please, don't let this opportunity go. Make it right today. If we can help you, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing this song.